on BYUSN. BYU men's basketball to the Final Four? Which prominent national analyst said that should be the expectation for the Cougars next season? Does ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham agree? He returns to discuss his expectations for the Cougars in year two under Kevin Young.
24/7 Sports released its post-Spring Bowl projections. We'll tell you why we hate where they have BYU slotted to play. And Suli Davis and Heather Olmstead of Women's Volleyball preview their busy summer representing the red, white, and blue.
America! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, May 7th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who always supersizes his value meal, Jerem Jordan.
I still love McDonald's at this age. You know, I know there are those who do not, but A.J. DiBonsa is a McDonald's All-American. And yesterday, at the near-campus McDonald's, A.J. out there with Cosmo, Jake Retzloff, getting some TikTok dances in. Hey, A.J.'s got good hips. Jake, too. You can see the dance moves. Very nice, very nice. So A.J. was serving up ice cream cones and burgers and whatnot. Pretty cool to see the humility of this guy. He doesn't have to do this. This was a choice.
I talked to AJ yesterday.
And he was there, yeah.
One, he criticized me for not bringing my kids by to get free ice cream.
You're like, my kids live like 35 minutes
away. What kind of
parent
are you, Spencer? I was giving out free ice cream. Said he gave out one McFlurry specifically.
Nice.
Said this was a better experience this go around than the previous time.
Where he said it was hot in the kitchen.
But it was an ice cream filled afternoon for AJ DiBonsa. Yeah. Really fun to watch that happen.
And I'm glad the ice cream machine was working.
I was just going to say.
Because that's the main issue with McDonald's.
Can I tell you how many nights in Grand Junction, Colorado, the one thing I was looking forward to after archiving sometimes girls' high school basketball highlights till 2 o'clock in the morning was going to McDonald's because I wanted some ice cream and a late night McDouble.
And you thought, I'm not loving it.
I'm sorry, sir. The ice cream machine is not working. That was 90% of the time. Why does it not suddenly work between midnight and 6 a.m.?
Is that a choice by the employees, or is it actually not working?
No.
You know, I would like an investigative get part on that.
Yes. You know. Something. ABC World News tonight. Why the ice cream machine is not working.
Doesn't actually work.
It was working for AJ and everybody that showed up at McDonald's yesterday.
But hey, shout out McDonald's. They need some free pub. They don't have enough.
Right? All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. Look at the roster with A.J. DiBonsa, Robert Wright III, Richie Saunders, Keba Keita, Dominic Diamande, and a bench of Dawson Baker, Mihailo Boskovic, and others. Holy cow! Ice cream for all with this BYU men's basketball team.
It's working.
And Final Four dreaming? CBS Sports college basketball analyst John Rothstein discussed his lofty expectations for the Cougars next season on his podcast yesterday. In fact, he said specifically the following.
I think if you're a BYU fan now and you went to the Sweet 16 this past year without a talent like this, the goal and the realistic expectations for BYU is to go to a Final Four. And I don't even think that's anything that anybody should, you know, blink at. You've got Baylor transfer Rob Wright is going to be one of the best sophomore point guards in college basketball and maybe one of the best point guards in college basketball this year. Richie Saunders is a proven all Big 12 player. And then you have a player in DiBonsa who's going to be right there and the likely candidate to be the number one overall pick in the 2026 NBA draft.
I'm blinking a little bit, Jerem, when he says it should be the expectation that BYU goes to the Final Four. But let's discuss in detail, shall we? Do you agree straight up with John Rothstein that BYU should expect to go to their first ever Final Four with this roster?
This is very new for all of us. The roster is Final Four good. It is. We're seeing that from everybody nationally. They're saying BYU is number 5 or 6 right now. Why are they saying that? Because the roster is that good, as outlined by what you've just mentioned. Sweet 16 plus is my phrase right now, and that's because of the history of BYU. But you know who doesn't care about or know about all the little nuances of the history of BYU? Kevin Young, A.J. DiBonsa, Robert Wright III. They're just here about, let's just win this year. Let's win right now. The possibility absolutely exists. Should it be the goal? Yes, it's higher than that. It's actually the national championship. We've heard those words from A.J. DiBonsa. What evidence do we have that Kevin Young cannot do something?
Do we have any evidence
of that? When you have the best player, perhaps in the country, and you have three in probably the top 100, maybe the top 50, with Richie Saunders and Robert Wright III, plus a very capable role players around them, Kaba Keita included, who's one of the best big men in the country. He's top 15 in offensive and defensive rebound percentage. We can quantify that, not to mention his high-flying dunks and blocks. And then role players who have to come in and do that, right? How will this team gel? What will that look like? What bumps in the road will exist? How will they overcome a more challenging non-conference schedule? Can BYU play better defense than they did last year? Because I would say that's the one area where I go, hey, that's got to be better. Offensively, you saw what BYU could do. Kind of a new group. Excited about what they could produce there. Here's what I don't want, though, if we say, yes, Final Four, yes.
Okay.
I don't want BYU to go to the Elite Eight and not, if they don't make it to the Final Four, and we go, below expectation,
wasn't good
enough. Like, what? What are we talking about at this place? Certainly you can aim for the stars and land on the moon or whatever phrase you want to use there. I am excited about it. I'm not going to walk into the season expecting BYU to go to the Final Four per se. I'm going to expect that BYU could do that. They could. I'm not going to say they are doing this because I want to see what it looks like together.
Sure.
I want to see all those things that I just outlined.
Okay.
Am I as excited as everybody else? Probably more.
We're all excited.
Probably more than you. Let's go. I cannot wait. I just want to let them play it out a little bit.
Last week, you sat across from me and asked, are you buying Joe Lunardi having BYU as the number two seed? And I almost verbatim said what you started your conversation piece with today, which is, what has Kevin Young done for me to think, no, I'm not buying this? Yeah, I'm buying BYU as a potential two seed in the NCAA tournament. I'm not going anywhere from that. However, in a single elimination tournament, with how weird it can get.
Yes. Ask Virginia. Ask Purdue. Ask those guys.
Like, what? BYU played against a team that made 25 three-pointers. Like, well, how do you prepare for that? So weird things happen. Cougars got to the Sweet 16. If they got back to another Sweet 16 and went back-to-back Sweet 16s, awesome.
That's a minimum threshold for me, though.
Well, we discussed the minimum threshold. That's where I put it.
It's at least Sweet 16.
That's where I put it.
This group.
Sweet 16.
They got to win two games. Yep.
I believe this is an Elite Eight team. Now, can you win one more game and make even more history?
And make the history.
Sure.
Yep.
But if they don't, I'm not going to say that this season was a failure. You kidding me? BYU's been to one Elite Eight ever.
Now, there is a scenario where we're extremely disappointed in that. Let's say BYU is a one seed,
well,
and they lose to like some Cinderella that's like an 11 in the Elite Eight.
That's a very unique circumstance,
but that is one where I'd go, oh, yeah, I blew that one. Dang it.
How many great teams?
But let's get there. Let's play this season out. Like, we need to see 35 games of greatness.
How many great teams lose in that tournament? It's so tough. That's
literally
the beauty,
everybody but one.
It's the beauty and pain of that single elimination series. Like, if it were played like the NBA playoffs?
Yes.
Totally different conversation.
And even then, you're the Cavs. You have this unbelievable regular season. You have three notable injuries. You're down 0-2 because you lost a crazy lead last night.
Kevin Young sat in the chairs across the way from us at Studio B a year ago when we were initially discussing expectations with him for BYU in year one.
Should we expect the
NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
And he said, in more words than this, I just want to get better. I'm so worried about just getting better and trying to win games. Like, I can't think about any of that stuff. It will naturally happen if we just get better and win. And I believe that he is in the same mindset right now. Like, the expectations are sky high. But right now it's, how do we get this team to gel, figure out pieces?
They don't even have the roster.
Exactly.
Then.
There are multiple guys that aren't even in the gym.
Granted, I think that they have two or three more spots left. I think that this team is really good. Like, whoever they add is just going to add. It's not going to be like, we have to have this guy. Yes, you want a backup point guard. At this point in the portal, you're getting certain fits at this point, right? As opposed to, there's not a Robert Wright III,
yes,
another one sitting there. But you're getting other good players, but a certain level.
For what it's worth, A.J. DeBonta told me yesterday he threw his first lob to Cabe Ikeda. Said it was, not surprisingly, a rim rocker. So it was good to make that connection. Okay, in practice, it's going to be all summer long. Practice is a lot of basketball. These guys and a lot of player on practices, but getting to know each other. Watch out for this team come late January, early February. Starting off, they'll be a top 10 team, Jeremy.
Yes, they'll be expected to win almost every game they play, Spence.
But can they be...
like, think about that. They're going to be favored in almost every game.
Can they be flying at an elite level and be in the conversation to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament when you get to late January and early February?
Well, and frankly, when did this team take off last year? It was in February.
Right there.
Into March with that 9-game win streak. That was incredible.
Give this team time to do something similar. Now, I don't think they're going to have any significant
hiccups.
What do
you mean by that exactly? Because I think we're not allowing this team to be like last year's team at all.
No, but
we're
BYU
could. You need to come out of non-con
with one
9-2, 10-1?
Let's say BYU beats Clemson in the Jimmy V Classic and then lose to Florida or UConn or whatever. Like, okay.
Is that a one-off? My understanding was.
I don't know. Is it a one-off?
Okay. It was a one-off.
Okay,
it's not
so
a
tournament. They don't play anybody else there. Okay.
Yes.
But what I'm saying, I don't think there'll be any significant hiccup like Providence was this year.
Like, is Villanova a step back, and that would be a bad loss to start the year, even though Villanova's a good program, but they have a new coach.
Is it close? BYU wins the game and don't play?
You have to beat Dayton, Georgetown, Miami, two of those three. Like, what? We're going to look at that schedule in non-conference, Spence, and we'll go, they need to win all but one or two of those games.
Does BYU play anybody in TD Garden in the middle of the season? Like, I know that they're going to the Jimmy V Classic, but is there a game against?
How many gardens are they playing in, Spence? They're already playing at Madison Square.
Is there a game against somebody in TD Garden? Just when I say give them time, they're not going to win every game by 30 immediately. They have to figure things out and figure out rotations because there are still a bunch of new pieces. I know the BYU brings back a solid core, but it's not as big of a core as was last year. However, they have massively upgraded the new talent that they bring in, but it still takes time.
It's a better starting lineup.
It still takes time. So because it's a better starting lineup,
will it be a better bench is the question, because the bench was really good last year.
And the bench won BYU multiple games last year.
I need to see them play before I definitively say that. I can say right now, though, the starters are better than last year's starters.
BYU right now is a top 10 team.
I feel like I can say that right now, because A.J. DeBonta.
They're a top 10 team. Give them time to prove that they are a top 5 team. Like, give them a month. Give them a month and a half.
Meaning they need to win, but the margin might not be massive?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
There will be some close games.
And I like that because they're playing tougher competition. If you were playing last year's schedule, you need to blow those fools out, man. You can't be playing close games with Idaho at home or whatever. UC Riverside was a little too close or whatever.
Oh, the 86-80 game? Yeah.
But new staff, it's not a new staff now. It's year two. They're full off season, right?
So they can, I believe, find the chemistry, gel a little faster because you don't have to worry about figuring out each other as a staff. You know each other.
Yes. Yeah, the team on the court is newish. Like, Richie's never played with AJ. Kaba's never played with Robert Wright III.
Exactly.
For example.
To the point of AJ, hey, I threw my first ever lob to Kaba yesterday. Yeah. It's like that. Okay.
This is really a question about managing expectations. It's not a question about whether BYU is good or not. It's whether we're actually going to embrace what is right in front of us. And we are scared to do it because we've been burned before and we don't want to be burned again. But I think it's a new era. Not the magazine, but BYU basketball.
BYU's never been in
Although,
the Final Four preseason conversation.
You may have read the magazine quite a bit. Shout out to Alicia Rose in the early 2000s.
They've never been in the preseason Final Four conversation?
It's kind of fun.
Are you kidding me?
It'd be really fun if we had a daily show and like home pregame shows to chronicle the... Oh, wait.
Lots to talk about between May 7th and November 3rd when BYU tips off the season against Villanova.
I'll bring this up with Sean in a minute, but because we recorded it earlier. I wish it was November 7th. It's May 7th, and it's like, can we? Well, I want to watch football.
6 months?
Well, I want to watch the football season.
We felt this way about basketball and football last year, and then started 3-0. We were like, oh, pause on basketball.
I actually want to not have that because I want to relax a little bit this summer, and then we get back into the grind.
Our question of the day is this. Straight up, do you agree with John Rothstein's analysis and expectation for BYU to make the Final Four this season? He said it. He said it.
Can you believe
Others
this?
Are saying it. AJ Andreas.
I always
X.
wanted to be a weatherman where I could just specifically point a certain direction.
Green screen?
Yeah.
AJ on X says, nah, it works great as a goal for the season, but to expect the greatest season in BYU basketball history is, I think, a bridge too far. I'd rather just enjoy it.
Well, that's a good point. Can we enjoy it and expect it? Only if it meets it. I'm telling you, there's a fear that if you say, yep, we're going to go to the Final Four, I expect that, and you don't, that there's some level of disappointment, even though it could be one of the greatest, funnest seasons in BYU basketball history if you went to the Elite Eight.
You know what I expect? I expect BYU to at least make the Sweet 16. I expect BYU 100%. To at least finish in the top four of the Big 12.
I will say, if neither of those things happen, I am disappointed that that didn't happen.
I expect BYU to at least get to the semifinals of the Big 12 Conference Tournament. Like, those are...
Those are three boxes.
Minimum threshold expectations.
Just one of those BYU hasn't done. Just the semifinals.
Okay. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Didn't they go to the semifinals last year against Houston?
Yeah, they did. So they've done all three of those. How about the championship game?
Got to hit all three of those.
How about the championship
game? Okay, that's the next step.
Yeah. Yegor Demon was featured in two recent NBA mock drafts that were published yesterday. Number one, Bleacher Report, number 17 to the Timberwolves, and CBS Sports, number 18 to the Wizards. Do either of these sound good?
The Timberwolves are a playoff team. They're a fun team to watch, so that sounds okay.
They should have won last night.
Yegor going Steph to DC Curry, and the Wizards, I don't like it. But you know what? That's the most common place for him in most of these projections.
Ew, gross.
Number 18 Wizards. Yeah, don't love that. Don't love that for Yegor.
You're embarrassing me in front of the Wizards.
Could he make them better? Absolutely. But I would love to see Yegor join a winning team, a playoff franchise right now.
Yes. Just be a backup on a good team.
If you're going to be a startup, and it has to be a startup or a team in a rebuild, then I would opt for, selfishly, the Utah Jazz so that I can drive up the street and watch Yegor play. With the Jazz.
Watch. We can hang out. Get some shots up.
So the Timberwolves sounds
good.
Text
our boy Ryan. Get some shots up.
But being on the other side of the country for a team that's terrible and is in a rebuild, no. I don't love that fit. But that one is the most common that we have seen. 18 to the Wizards.
Please, no. No. We still need to see, is it finalized outside of the lottery? I don't understand. That it is finalized outside of as the playoffs go on. Okay. Yeah, Wizards would stink. I would love for it to be a Western Conference team where we would at least see him in Salt Lake if he's not on the Jazz several times. There's selfish reasons here based on where we live. If you live in Washington, if you're my Uncle Connell living in Washington, in D.C., you want him to the Wizards so you can watch him play.
Sure.
I get it. But I also want to see him on national TV, too. Wizards aren't on national TV a lot.
Playoff teams are.
Yes, and the Jazz are not. So that's conflicting.
But you can watch them in-state on regional television.
Yes, we can, with Alema and Mike on the pregame show, the BYU Cougs. Yes. So please no Wizards. Please no Magic. Random, I don't know. Western team would be nice.
The Combine is next week, which Yegor has been invited to. Yep. The lottery selection, so we'll find out which teams are going to pick where in the
lottery. I wonder if Richie would have been invited, by the way. That's Caleb Love was not. That's a hard group to crack. Okay. Maybe he would have been.
Let's call a timeout on BYU basketball and Yegor Demon for just a moment. And bring up a little BYU football because 24/7 Sports post-spring bowl projections are out.
It feels almost completely worthless, but go ahead.
I am super, super excited about this next bit of news.
This is really
Listen to this. Yeah. Listen to how rich and amazing this is. BYU and Oregon State projected in Shreveport in the Independence Bowl. You know what? I'm out of here. Yeah, I can't handle this.
Yeah, leave. Get out.
Gross.
Yeah, that is gross. What's worse, Yegor to the Wizards or this bowl game?
This bowl game. It's not close. It's not close. No, please no. With the expectations of being a top 20 team in the country and you're playing Oregon State in Shreveport, something has gone terribly wrong.
Is that worse than not making a bowl game? Would you rather not make a bowl game than play in that bowl game against that team?
That's a hard line. I can't believe I'm actually considering saying, I'd rather
maybe
not
no.
go to a bowl game.
Rebuild.
No.
Would you rather go 7-5 and go to that?
Yes.
Than not play in a bowl game?
Because if you go 11-2 and then all of a sudden are not bowl eligible the next year, then you were truly a flash in the pan.
It was 1 year. Like, it was. BYU, you didn't sustain it.
It is critical that BYU
you
shows.
Didn't sustain it. Yeah.
It is critical that BYU shows that this was not just a one-year thing.
Therefore, they have to go 9-3 plus.
I think they need to win 9 games.
Because, like, 8-4, it's like, well, you were good, but you weren't that good.
Yeah, you go 9-4, great.
Not with a bowl win,
sure.
Yes. I'm talking regular season.
Yes.
I don't know who we're playing. I hate guessing it. Yeah, they'll win the bowl game. I don't know who we're playing. What's the context of that? Is everyone mailing it in? Are people hurt? I never like guessing that.
Listen, I know I have PTSD from Louisiana for a few reasons. But Shreveport was not a great experience for BYU. And coming off a season
New Orleans is fun, just not Shreveport.
Have you compared and contrasted the two?
No, I don't plan on going to Shreveport. But I've been to New Orleans for a weekend. It was great.
Go to Shreveport.
No.
You tell me if you would like BYU to go back to Shreveport.
I'm saying, is New Orleans okay? That's what I was asking.
New Orleans would be great.
Yeah, New Orleans is fun. Lots great to do. Hey, Taysom, what's up?
All right.
6-seed BYU softball takes on 11-seed Houston. Battle of the Cougars. First round of the Big 12 tournament today in Oklahoma City. 8:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Must win if BYU is going to make the tournament. Straight up.
Oh, must win.
Must.
Okay.
Must
okay.
win.
Compelling and rich.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with ESPN's Sean Farnham.
I'm taking him to the rim.
Does he agree with John Rothstein that BYU's expectations should be the Final Four? This is BYUSN.
I think this program's going to maintain its very high level of expectations.
People saying, fifth or sixth best team in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Lenardi came out this morning and said, hey, 2-seed projection.
I'm a winner, and looking at this roster, this team's going to do a lot of winning.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Ice cream machine is working at McDonald's, we hear.
Yeah, Sean Farnham is on the program now. I talked to him earlier this morning. And Final Four expectations, we talked a lot about that. And someone was a little bit peanut butter and jealous about the Cruise. Here's Sean Farnham of ESPN. Sean, it feels like we just finished the season, but I know it's been like over a month. What are you up
stop
to
lying.
Now? How's life?
Stop lying. Stop lying. You
Welcome
went
back.
On a cruise. You went on a cruise, yep. And you went without me. And
I'm sorry.
The fact that I was not invited on the cruise is just mind-boggling. I think I could have added something. I mean,
yeah.
I understand that I'm not really, I didn't attend BYU, I didn't go to BYU, but I feel like I'm at least an honorary member now.
Absolutely. If we were handing out like BYU Sports Nation diplomas or doctorates, if you will, I don't think we have that power. Maybe we do. I don't know. Let's look into it. I think you'd have one. So in 2027, they're going to the Caribbean, and
Ooh.
I think you should be there. I think Trevor Maddox should be there for football, and you should be there for basketball.
I would be down. I mean, I definitely would be in to have a celebration of all celebrations. And, it was like one of those things where you feel like, you're missing out. The FOMO was real.
Mm-hmm.
And then to compound that with Chucky Kemp sending me a picture from the box where he was calling the BYU baseball game and 9 Cougar tails all lined up in front of him. I just felt like people were trying to troll me. I thought you guys were trying to troll me. And I was like, this is disrespectful, and I feel like I'm not being appreciated the way that I should right now.
I don't know that people named Chucky can be trusted. That's just me. But, let's talk about BYU men's basketball. And maybe next time you'll be on the cruise. That'd be really fun, honestly.
That'd be fun. We'd have a good time.
The offseason is chock full of interesting stuff because BYU is compiling a roster that they think could compete at the highest level. John Rothstein said yesterday, hey, Final Four should be the expectation. And that's our question of the day. Should BYU fans have the goal and expect a Final Four with this roster?
Yes. There you go. The answer is yes. My boss is, in fact, I was having a postseason breakdown conversation with my bosses, and I said, so what's your thoughts on next year? They said, sure hope you like Provo, Sean.
You're yeah.
I was like, I don't know if you know this. I kind of do. It's going to be big. And look, I think here's where it starts for me. I think you start with Richie Saunders, to be honest with you. He is going to be a preseason All-American. If not first team, certainly within the mix of those first 3 teams, I would imagine, based on his performance from this past season. And so you start with that experience, that known commodity. Then you add to it AJ, who is a generational talent and the highest recruit ever to show up on campus and a guy that can really hurt you in a variety of ways. His athleticism is unique. It's something that has been lacking a little bit on some of the roster constructions over the years since I've been covering BYU. He adds that dimension of that elite level pro athlete that can just really take over a game and knows how to score the basketball and get to his spot and make sure he can elevate up to get to his shot or finish out in transition with some highlight reel dunks. Then you add into it, okay, the big question mark then was going to be who was going to be the point guard. And you go out and get Robert Wright, who was one of the best guards in all of the Big 12 this year at Baylor as a freshman. And undoubtedly, with more seasoning and now a different system, I think his numbers are going to increase and has more talent around him. Now, I mean, obviously, Baylor's anticipation was he was returning. He decided to open it back up. And when he decided to open back up, I mean, BYU is a great fit for Robert Wright. Familiarity of conference, understanding what it takes to be, how it feels to be guarded in this conference by teams like Houston. He's already felt that. He's already experienced that. It's not going to be new for him. So that'll allow him to get into the flow of this offense very quickly. His speed, his end-to-end court speed, his ability to make shots, I think it fits really nicely. And then the next concern, the next level of concern, I wouldn't say necessarily concern, but hole that you wanted to fill was to find guys that could knock down shots on a consistent basis. And they did that with Kennard and Tyler. Those two guys both shoot over 36, 37% from beyond the arc. Tyler, 75% of his makes are from beyond the arc. Kennard is more of a proficient scorer and had, you know, 16 points per game last season. Like these are filling the hole of roster construction. Like I think like we talk about a lot, like we make fun of Seth Greenberg sometimes on ESPN because he always talks about roster construction, but roster construction isn't alone just is accumulating talent. It's filling in the holes and the gaps in which you have on your roster. And they were able to do that through the transfer portal this year. I think Dominique is going to be a very interesting prospect, a guy that had a lot of highly touted eyes on him before he went to Washington and now coming in to BYU. Again, good length. I mean, you're talking about guys that are 6'7" here. So you've got length that not only helps you offensively with getting off your shot, but it allows the defense to be more disruptive with their hands out wide and hopefully improve on that area of the floor as much as they're trying to improve at the offensive end and kind of replicate what they were able to accomplish this year, because this year's offense was pretty darn good as well. Then you add in size with like Xavion, who I am very high on. I've been very high on him. I've talked to you guys about this. I know how he was coached on the club circuit by Russell White, who's the head coach of Cal Lu, a Division III program out here in California. He's relatively new to the game, Xavion, but like his length and anticipation and a rim protector adds another dimension that this roster didn't have. So you've got some experience. You've got guys that understand what their roles can be. And some of those guys that didn't play a lot last year, they're going to have expanded out roles this year. But you're adding in depth, and then you're adding in quality in particular. And, you know, we talk about the big three. Do you have a big three? Yes, you do. Robert Wright, AJ, and Richie. Those are your big three. And those guys are going to be able to manufacture points and play with such a good energy about them that it starts to become infectious. And I talked to Richie about this, and I didn't obviously know if he was going to come back or not. I talked to him on the final home game when I was there, and I said, Richie, like, if this is it, if this is the last time I get to cover you, man, it's been a pleasure, because your growth has been incredible. And the most important attribute that Richie Saunders has is he plays harder than everybody else every single game. If you'd be hard pressed to go look at a game and go, geez, who's the hardest playing person on the floor, and not pick Richie Saunders. And so when that's your guy, and everybody knows that that's the guy, it's very similar to how I felt with Earl Watson at UCLA. You have to match his energy. You have to match his work ethic. You have to match what he brings every single night. And he was playing 39 minutes a night. I anticipate Richie Saunders can be pretty darn close to that by the time the season comes to a close next year. But I think the anticipation should be high. I think this is a Final Four team. And I'm grateful that I like Provo, because I think I'm going to be spending a lot of time there next year.
Heck yeah. Might as well get a townhome or something at this point.
I'm just moving into your house.
Might as well. Hey, we're trying to finish the basement. So, yeah, if you want to contribute there, let's go.
I mean, I'm good with air blow up air mattress, like bed too. Like, I'm not a high end guy, you know? I mean,
I'm pretty simple.
You know what? Quiet as kept. Provo has some of the best Thai food in the country.
There you go. You're a Thai food guy. Okay.
I'm not really, but Dave Fleming is like a vegetarian. And so, like, we have to find restaurants that can, like, work for both of us. There's a Thai restaurant that's right around the corner from the hotel we normally stay at. Really good.
Okay.
Really good.
Downtown Provo. I like that. It's May 7th, but I think people wish it was November 7th right now so we could play some ball based on what you just said. Final Four expectation. That's wild. BYU is putting together
Do you not disagree? Do you disagree?
I want to get excited,
you said it's
too.
It's wild.
It is wild. Well, it's not wild because of what you laid out in this roster construction. That's as good of a roster as anybody in the country, which is amazing. Kevin Young continues to exceed expectation in terms of he's come in and raised the vision. This place has won a lot of games. They've had national players of the year. They've had Sweet 16s. But to say, like, the expectation, not like, we hope, that's a nice goal. Like, no, you should expect that. It's just so high above what we've been used to. We're two seasons removed from losing to, like, Pacific and being like, well, that happens. Not anymore. Well, you know what I mean? Well, like, you've seen all this too.
I have. Listen, I would say this. This is the perfect storm, right?
Yes.
You have NIL come into the marketplace. You have a coach that is young, who comes legitimately last name Young, but also Young.
There you go.
And comes from the NBA and has this amazing pedigree. Then comes out in his first season and has this incredible offense, this incredible flow, and you can close your eyes and you can imagine what it would look like to play in that system as a recruit, as a prospect, as a transfer. And then all of a sudden you get AJ. And I told you guys this, I told you when you got AJ, I said the ripple impact of this will be in the transfer portal. I didn't know what that ripple was going to be, but when Robert Wright said, "Hey, I'm going to BYU,"
that said a lot
to me. That was okay. They could be there. They could be there next year in the Final Four, and it's because of the skill set and the fact that Richie came back and didn't go to the NBA. All of those things come together. You now have a perfect storm, and when you look at like the roster makeup of teams that have had success. In modern-day college basketball, you have to have experienced stars. Does this team have experienced stars? Yes. Okay, you have to have some NBA prospects. Does this team have NBA prospects on it? Yeah, more than one. More than one, because Richie certainly is one. AJ's one. Robert Wright is one. I think Xavion's going to end up being one. People are going to be watching this year and going, wait, hold on. He's got good mobility. He can show on ball screens. He can protect the rim. He's still raw offensively, but they can develop that. He still needs to put on weight, but he's developing that. You know, there's some things there that I think are going to be very exciting for NBA teams to come watch. And now you've got the stage. Now you've got the national eyes on you. There's a couple things that need to improve. Obviously, the non-conference schedule. I believe that's going to improve. I think productivity in conference play, if it remains exactly the same, would be perfectly fine, to be honest with you. I'm not saying you're going to win the Big 12. You could, maybe. But, like, you're going to be a top finisher in the Big 12 conference like you've been now for the first 2 years that you've been in the conference. You've exceeded expectations. I don't anticipate that that's going to change going into this year, which then means that you're probably going to the NCAA tournament as a 1-2, at the worst, maybe a 3-seed. Those are all teams that have a legitimate chance to make a run to a national championship.
Yeah.
So if that's where you're at, I think roster construction and how it's all put together gives you an opportunity in today's modern college basketball where we have so much turnover and so many guys leave and come and go. There's a lot of teams that you're probably going to say, hey, they're Final Four good. St. John's Final Four good right now? Yeah, on paper, they're Final Four good. There's no doubt about it. Let's see how they look when they get out on the floor together. So right now, as we talk here on May 7th, we can sit here and say, hey, they're Final Four good. And that they have the potential to get to a Final Four. Now they got to go prove it. They got their work ethic over the course of this summer, their camaraderie that needs to be built. You know, you're going to miss a guy like Trevin Nell because he was an institution within BYU's program.
Yeah.
And so like, you're replacing him with very talented players, but now those guys got to fall in line with how things are done at BYU. And that's different. And that's the makeup of the roster, why it's really important to get guys that fill in holes. But it's also important that they get to spend time with each other and start to truly develop that. And if this team does, they could be at the Final Four next year. And it should not be a surprise to anybody. And so I think you go into the year based on what you've seen so far and what our eyes have told us about Kevin Young and his program to say, hey, this could be a program that is built not only for this year, but is going to continue to show up and show out and put guys in the NBA. And the financial backing is there. And as long as that financial backing continues to be there, BYU is going to be in the mix for a lot of the top recruits in the country.
Kevin Young has not given us any evidence that he cannot do something up to this point. It's been unbelievable. We have about 20 seconds left. Yesterday, A.J. DiBonsa served food at McDonald's in Provo. You seem like a healthy guy, Sean. Would you buy a burger from McDonald's if you could go through and hang out with A.J.?
No, because I'm counting on your production staff in that back room to set me up with a one-on-one interview very soon with AJ. So I don't need to go to McDonald's for that. And while I do appreciate the French fries at McDonald's.
No ice cream cone, that's nothing.
That's pretty much where I stop at McDonald's these days. At 47, Jerem, the cholesterol starts to hit a little different, and you've got to maintain good physical fitness and good health. And I'm not looking to go on any prescription medications for cholesterol, so I'm trying to eliminate all of that.
Yet you love donuts. Just saying.
Hold on. I do not love donuts.
You love cougar tail.
I love the cougar tail.
I see you. Sean, we always appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll talk soon again.
I look forward to it. Here's the thing, and I know we're against it, but I'm just going to tell you this. The fact this team is so good means you guys might get an earlier dose of Farnham next year. Could we be in November? Could we have an early Farnham show up every week on BYU Sports Nation?
Could be earlier than Big 12 play. Yep, I see what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
Plant the seed. Johnny Appleseed, that's what they called you in middle school.
Just watering it. Just watering it.
Just a little sack over the shoulder. Just flinging ideas.
Let's see what we got.
Sean, thanks for the time.
You're the best.
The one and only Sean Farnham on BYU Sports Nation.
Indeed.
BYU Baseball looks to build off last night's win at Wichita State as they open a series at Kansas. Tomorrow, 7 Eastern on BYU Radio on ESPN+.
Not one, but two former Cougars continue to shine bright on the diamond.
Nice, Rihanna.
Major League news and headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
My Sterner beating my dude Julio.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your headlines.
Yegor Demin featured in two updated NBA mock drafts. Bleacher Report, number 17 to the T-Wolves. CBS Sports, number 18 to the Wizards. Some notable NBA draft dates on the horizon. Combine, May 11th to the 18th in Chicago. NBA Draft Lottery, May 12th. Draft is June 25th and 26th in Brooklyn.
Let's move on to a little bit of BYU baseball, shall we? Who earned a road win at Wichita State yesterday, 9-2. Tate Gamble hit his first home run of the season in the victory and now has a 15-game hitting streak. The Backcats back in action tomorrow in game 1 of 3 against a really good Kansas team. As Jerem just mentioned moments ago, 7 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+. Cougars currently the last team in the Big 12 tournament field. If it started today, top 12 of 14 make it.
6 seed BYU softball plays 11 seed Houston in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Tonight in Oklahoma City, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN+. BYU swept Houston in 3 games earlier this season. And this morning, BYU's Ilovea Brittingham, Lindy Milkowski, and Lily Owens named first team All-Big 12.
Love it.
With Brittingham named to the All-Freshman team. Congratulations, that's a big deal.
Top two home run hitters in the league in Brittingham and Milkowski.
Yeah, baby.
BYU men's and women's track and field climb in the latest USTF CCCA rankings yesterday. The women move up 2 spots to number 5. And the men's team jumps 6 spots to number 6. Those numbers mark the highest rankings for both teams this season.
Women's golf finished round 2 at the NCAA Regionals in Charlottesville in 7th place after shooting 12 over par. Top 5 teams advanced to Nationals. BYU teed off in the final round earlier this morning, currently in 7th, shooting 6 over through 11 holes on the day. Let's go, ladies. Climb inside the top 5.
About our Batcats in the big leagues, Daniel Schneeman rolling right now, 2 for 2 with a home run in the Cleveland Guardians' 9-1 win over the Washington Nationals yesterday. Schneeman now has 5 home runs this season and 3 homers in his last 4 games, all 3 of those on the road.
Amazing.
Justin Sterner pitched an inning and 2/3, scoreless, with 3 strikeouts in the A's loss to the Mariners yesterday. So Sterner is now up to 18 and 1/3 innings pitched without surrendering a single run. has only allowed 7 hits while striking out 23 batters this season.
Hey, Brother Sterner from my ward doing work, man. Love it, love it. He did bean Julio Rodriguez, though. I didn't like that. But other than that, he was great.
After the break, Sully Davis and Heather Olmstead of BYU Women's Volleyball preview their summer representing USA Volleyball. Is gold in that future? This is BYUSN.
The A.J. DeBonta of women's volleyball is Sully Davis. By some publications, National Player of the Year. She was an All-American Under Armour MVP in that game. She was amazing. She's going to be repping the red, white, and blue. Heather Olmstead going to be repping the red, white, and blue. I talked with both yesterday about their busy summer coming up. All right, just some red, white, and blue repping with Sully Davis and Heather Olmstead. Welcome to the show. Sully, first time on the program. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited. A little nervous. I'm excited.
Oh, you'll do great. Heather, I feel like we were hanging out just a minute ago on the cruise for like a full week. That was an amazing experience. How was it for you?
It was unbelievable. I can't wait for 27. So yeah, we had family vacation time. It was pretty cool. It was fun.
It was cool. All your sisters were there. You had some fun t-shirts for them. My whole family was there, including our 9-month-old baby. So it was great. And honestly, I thought it was a piece of heaven. Sully, if I was you, I'd be putting in like, I want to be on that ship in 2 years. Just saying.
We got to get our whole team on there. That's my, I'm gonna work to get. It's in the summer, right? Everyone's available. Little summer trip to the Caribbean. So we're gonna put a plug in for the whole team to come.
It was awesome. Brielle and Ellie were great. They did a little TikTok dance with my daughter, which was fun. So it was a good time. It was a good time. Well, typically people think about the summer and they think of time off, but for you guys have taken on additional volleyball roles. Let's talk about it. So Sully, for the third year in a row, you're going to rep the red, white, and blue, this time on the U19 team. What's it like to have the chance to train with that team and then hopefully make the squad?
Oh my goodness. It's a great opportunity. And like when I go into it, I'm kind of hard on myself, but I just have to give myself grace and think not everyone gets this chance. And so there's only 18 of us this year that they're taking, and then 12 they're taking to Croatia. But it's so fun. Like the girls, everyone's good, but everyone's competing. So it's like happy and fun. Then you're competing, and then it's just a whole mix of emotions sometimes, and you just have to like let it go and play volleyball and just have fun. So, but it's super fun. The coaches are great. Keegan Cook is coaching us. I love him. He's great. He's a great coach. So yeah, it'll be fun. You learn a lot, you develop a lot. And I think that the past 2 times that I was on the team, it just built so many experiences of growing. And so now I'm here. So, yeah.
Heather, you lived in Croatia. You could say, hey, Croatia, you could tell her where to go in Croatia, right?
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times. So it has a special place in my heart. So their opportunity, you know, to train and to make a team for Sully and to possibly go play in Croatia over in Europe. I mean, it's just those opportunities are priceless. So we're really excited to support her and let her go live her dreams and play for USA.
What does it mean to have a player like Sully who's been doing this and can get that kind of additional experience, obviously, with other players at a high level that hopefully will benefit you and your team this fall?
Yeah, we've had quite a few players in the USA gym, right? We have Ronnie, who's in the USA gym this summer, which is really cool to see her continuing to play and playing with USA and in the VNL squad. And to give, you know, all our players opportunities, and we're excited for Sully. She's, like you've mentioned, been in it a couple years and has that pedigree. And so, you know, she's worked really hard to put herself in a position to be among that U19 group and get a chance to go represent, you know, in Europe at the world. And it's just really, really cool because she puts in the work and she has goals and dreams that she wants to accomplish. And this is just another opportunity, like she said, for her to learn and grow and to challenge herself against some of the best players, you know, in the country. And then from there, you know, take it against those in the world and see how good that team can be.
Heather, let's talk about your U21 team that you're going to head coach. You've been involved with this a bunch of times too. One gold last year, notably, in the Norseca Continental Championships. What are you most excited about with the training in Colorado Springs in June and or July, and then Costa Rica
Yeah, I'm excited. So year two, I got to take the team to Canada last year. So another great opportunity for me and a new group of athletes and coaches this year, just based off people's schedules and age groups. So we've got 18 athletes as well that'll be going to Colorado to train, and we'll get that down to 12. And then we'll take a team to Costa Rica to compete. And it's just a really another cool opportunity to learn and grow from coaches. I've got a great staff, and Megan Hodge-Easy and Keith Smith and Kyle Thompson's our lead. And we just have a great, great group of not only coaches, trainers, tech, but then the players. Their knowledge of the game and their experience is really going to serve our U21 team well as we go compete internationally.
Talk to us about kind of your journey to BYU, coming out of Texas and being a high-profile recruit, and why you picked BYU, and then what you learned during the winter semester as an early enrollee.
Yeah, so the recruiting process for me, everyone, it's different, but it was pretty stressful. So as a stress, but it's a good stressful, it's like a blessing. So just choosing schools, breaking it down. I went on a couple visits, and when I went to BYU, like sometimes it's hard to explain this to somebody, but it's really just a spirit that you feel. And like, when you get there, like you don't understand until you get there. So you don't know until you know. But yeah, I really just think when I got there, the spirit was great. I love the coaches. I got to be with the girls. I love the girls so much. They're super cool. They've been super welcoming to me and the other freshmen. So it's been really nice. And now that I've been to BYU, it's great. Like, I've learned so much, and just repeating things over and over, it's annoying, but it's good for your process. So me and Coach, we always talk about chop wood and carry water. It's a process, and you just have to love the process, because it's only going to help you grow. And if you want it, and if you want to make it far, like I want to go to the Olympics, you have to love the process. So yeah, Coach has been super great.
I love that. And Heather, Suli obviously is a big time player. What was the sell for her? How'd you get her to BYU, and what could she contribute to the program?
Yeah, Suli, she's been coming to camp for quite a few years. So we've had a relationship with her since she was, middle school, a little bit older than that. And so getting to know her and her family was super critical, and just understanding what she was looking for and what she wanted and what type of athlete and what kind of motor she has. And really wanting to provide that for her. I mean, she has big dreams, like she mentioned. So being able to capture those and talk with her through those and how she can accomplish those and how we can help her. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so again, she, on her visit, the team is the magic. You know, we have a great staff that helped build a vision for her, but really it's the girls, it's the community, it's BYU, what it stands for, and being able to represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints while we're playing really high level volleyball. I think that's really unique. And so we just wanted to support her and her dreams. But yeah, it started long ago, building that relationship, and then really wanting to work together and having this partnership of, hey, this is what I want, what she wants. This is what we can do for you. And let's go get it together and make magic happen.
Well, Suli, nice job on your first appearance on the show. Can't wait to watch you play. And best of luck making the USA U19 team. And Heather, of course, with the U21 team coming up this summer. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Julie Davis and Heather Olmstead. Do you agree with John Rothstein's Final Four expectations for BYU men's basketball this season? More responses to our question of the day. Up next, this is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Do you agree with John Rothstein of CBS Sports when he says his expectations are for BYU to make the Final Four this season? Seth LaPierce answers on Instagram and says, it seems crazy because we've, fans, never seen this or been in this position before, but bring it on.
It's a new territory for all of us. It really is.
Our elite voice to the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from Rex Culp, also on Instagram, who says, Final Four is a high bar. Yes, it is. And it's hard to say because of matchups and seeding, but that's how he leaves it. You never know.
Hey, it's May 7th. We got time. It's all good.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Justin Sterner, 18 and a third innings pitched. No runs given up already? What? He is.
They don't even have a city.
No, they don't. They're in West Sacramento. Not even Sacramento. Just so you know.
Where do you play? The Athletics. No, where do you play? The Athletics.
Yeah. I'm really proud of my fellow Elders Quorum member.
It's awesome. Doing great. Well done, Justin. Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham, Suli Davis, and Heather Olmstead.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time. Dennis, you should go to McDonald's.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Ned Stearns.
Oh, Ned Stearns. He played rugby here, too, dude.
Ice cream machine's working, folks. See you tomorrow. Go
Cougs. I love
Cougs.
Ned. Ned's a baller, dude.